So today we're going to hear this awesome story that Jesus tells called the parable of the sower. And it's about a guy who throws seed everywhere and it falls on all kinds of soil. And Angie was praying about this to share good news with you guys. And what she wanted to share with you was that we can sow seed too. We can sow seed through our love for one another and love for our neighbor and love for God. We can sow seed by showing acts of kindness and mercy for our neighbors. And we can also sow seeds by our witness, by being people who tell the truth, by people who stand up for justice, who protect our freedoms, who stand up to bullies. We can witness and help people see what Jesus is like by the way that we treat people. You guys think we can do that? All right, we're going to pray. God, we pray for healing, first of all, for Angie, who's sick at home. And we thank you for our scouts and our children. And thank you that all of us can sow the good seed, the seed of your gospel and your good news, of your love for us, and of your love in us that makes love for our neighbors. So help us to love one another, to show acts of kindness, to be good citizens, and to witness to your love in our hearts and our lives by the way we treat people. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you guys have...
Please stand for the reading of the gospel. Today's reading is Matthew 13, 1 through 23. The same day that Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while whole crowds stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell onto the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell onto rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. They sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. The other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Let anyone with their ears listen." And then the disciples came and asked him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered, "To you it has been given to know the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For those who have more will be given, and they have in abundance. But for those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. The reason I speak to them with parables is that seeing that they do not perceive, hearing they do not listen, nor do they understand. With them indeed is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah that says, 'You will indeed listen, but never understand. You will indeed look, but never perceive.' For this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes so that they may not look with their eyes, and listen with their ears, and understand with their heart in turn, I will heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and for your ears, for they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people have longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. Anyone who hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart, and this is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures it only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. For what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but cares of the world and the lure of wealth, choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one that hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30.
You may be seated. Thank you, Jack. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us say thanks be to God. The prayer that I've been praying this year for all of us as we respond to God's word. Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Amen. It's great to be here with you today. And it's great to have those who are worshiping with us today on Facebook Live on this Scout Sunday. You guys are doing a great job. Thanks for helping lead us in our worship and to serve us and for serving our community especially. It's great to have the Scouts here, isn't it? You know, I like to think of Jesus as the original Scoutmaster. He met people. He invited them. He selected them to go with them on a journey. It took about 3 years. We heard last week how Jesus came to Capernaum and he met some fishermen who were mending their nets. And he said to those fishermen, he said, "Follow me and I will make you fish for people." We learned that a disciple is one who follows Jesus. They make a decision, a willful decision to follow Jesus. And then Jesus promises to make them, that is to transform them. And the way we're transformed by Jesus is by his Holy Spirit and by his word. He changes us from the inside out so that we can join him on his mission to spread good news and God's love in this world. He said he would make them fish for people. So when we join in Jesus' mission as he's transforming us and we've decided to follow him each and every day, he takes our lives and what we're already doing, what we already enjoy, what we might already be good at, and redeems it and gives it an even stronger sense of purpose in the world. So, but a lot of them were young, and I like to think of Jesus as the Scoutmaster. He took them into the wilderness. They followed him everywhere they went. They helped people. They healed people. They even cast out demons. Now, I know that's probably not in the scouting manual, but you might have to deal with survival situations, right? Right? Well, if you have those, give me a call. I'll probably help you cast them out. Oh, sorry. But Jesus was that original Scoutmaster. And so we learned last week what it means to be a disciple with our mind and our will and our heart and our hands. And today, we're hearing more about kind of Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, and there's a sower who sows seeds, and he sows at all kinds of places. Now, when farmers today sow seeds, they do them in lines, right? In row by row by row by row. But this sower just threw seed everywhere on all kinds of soil. Now, that sounds really weird, but the good news about this is this seed is for any kind of soil. So that means that the gospel is good news for anybody. This sower that is sowing the seed, it's going everywhere, to the ends of the earth, if you will. To anyone, here or outside this church, whether it's your friends, your family, or your enemies, that's good news for everyone. Now, they might not receive it as good news, as we hear it in the story, because he says that there's four different kinds of soil. He's sowing the seed, and some of it falls on the path, and the birds come and eat it up. So it doesn't even get a chance to get into the ground and try to take root. And then he talks about another soil where it's full of rocks and it gets scorched and it doesn't go take root. And then the third soil where there's thorns and the thorns choke it out. But then there's that good soil, the soil that's been cultivated. It's probably been turned. It's probably had water and sun and nutrients. That's the good soil. And when the seed is sown in that soil, it yields, it says 100 or 60 or 30, which is still good yields, right? I'm not a farmer. I don't know what that means, the 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. To me, it sounds like a lot. It might not be as much, but yeah, just one tiny seed would have that big of a yield in the good soil. Well, a seed can't cultivate the soil on its own, right? It needs the environment. It needs someone to cultivate the soil. So we need God to cultivate our hearts, and that's why he sent his Holy Spirit ahead of us to prepare us to receive that word of God, that seed of the gospel. See, the thing about God's love is it's a free gift. He gives it to us through his grace. And there are people in our lives who witness, whether we know it or not, that prepare us to become a disciple, to receive that good news, to believe that God really loves me and he created me and he's got a plan for my life. And he didn't want to leave me in my sin where I would just die and not live in eternity. But instead, he sent his son Jesus to not just tell me how it's done, but to live a life I can follow, to be born completely human and dependent on the Holy Spirit, to learn a life of self-denial for us and to withstand temptation. So that he didn't just tell us to say no, he showed us how to say no to temptation. Amen? He came, and because no one was willing to pay the penalty, no one was willing to allow for real justice, because all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. And so he was crucified for us on that cross. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen? So that's good news. And then the Holy Spirit raised him up on the third day. So the story got even better. And then Jesus ascended to heaven, where he prays for us right now and asked God to pour out his Holy Spirit on all of us so that we could do even greater things than he did on this earth. That we could be so full of love for God and for neighbor that eventually by the time we die, we might not even think about sinning. That's how awesome God's love is. And you know, this week I read, on Friday night, I read that obituary for Lane McKinley. And his obituary is one of the best obituaries I've ever seen. Talked about all the things he liked to do. He was a falconer from the state, and he was part of the Purple Martin naturalist. So he liked birds and nature. He did woodwork. He's like a man's man. And he helped coach the science club and the scholastic bowl and the robotics team with Mrs. McKinley. And then it said that his most treasured possession, you know what his most treasured possession was? It says his most treasured possession was his library card. So this means that Lane was a lifelong learner. He was an avid reader, and it said that he loved reading the Bible. His most treasured possession was a library card, and he loved to read the Bible. Now that's my kind of man. And I hope that men who see that would think about picking up a book or reading the Bible or thinking about their life. It made me think about, you know, I spend all my time reading, and I spend a lot of time online, and I'm always in ideas. And Friday night I played a board game about bird watching, of all things. And there were these two cards that popped up that were the exact two birds that he was very familiar with, the perjuring falcon and the purple martin that came up, and it just made me think of Lane after reading that. And God got my attention. And I realized that, you know, I could learn from Lane too. And maybe I could be more like the scouts and spend more time outdoors. Maybe try something like bird watching. It might help me with focus, you know, be out in the nature. And it made me think about Adam. Adam's first job was to be basically like a zoologist. He named all the animals in the creation story. And so that got me to think, what might God have to teach me as a disciple? Because I don't have it all together. I'm a disciple of Jesus, but I'm still on the way. I still need God to cultivate my soil in my life so that I can receive that gospel and it can take deeper root. But these soils, the disciples asked, well, why do you speak in parables? And he says, to you, it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it's not been given. He's talking about the religious leaders. For those who have, more will be given and will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even that which they have will be taken away. And the reason I speak to them in parables, that is in common stories most people can relate to, is that seeing they do not perceive and hearing they do not listen. Nor do they understand, for with them indeed is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. Because we know that Jesus came to fulfill God's law. He says, you will indeed listen, but never understand. You will indeed look, but never perceive. For these people's hearts are grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing. And they've shut their eyes so that they might not look with their eyes, and listen with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. So there's a promise at the end of people who would turn, who would repent to be healed by God. But what he's describing is kind of like, well, my wife might be able to relate. I've got ADHD, so I have trouble focusing. And sometimes Julia will be talking, and I'll be looking at her, and then I'll forget what she's saying mid-sentence. And it's like, I'm looking at her, but I'm not really seeing. The sound is coming in, but I'm not really hearing. I'm like dull in that moment. I've lost focus, right? Sorry, honey. And that's kind of like what it is for God and his children sometimes. Our hearts have grown dull. We've gotten so preoccupied with the things of the world. We forget, or we think about ourselves, and we only think about the now instead of thinking about the future or remembering the past and learning from past lessons. And the scouts are always passing it on. You guys are eventually you'll help the Boy Scout or the Cub Scouts become Boy Scouts and kind of celebrate with them. And you guys, when you're a senior, you be the, what's it called? Like when you come up here and you give you like a captain or the senior patrol leader. Yeah. So everybody gets a chance to be senior patrol leader. You guys are discipling one another as scouts, lifelong learners on this journey, on this adventure. But Jesus says to his disciples, to these children of God who are waking up, he says, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Truly, I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." They're awake. They're ready. They're hungry. They're ready to learn. They didn't just sign up to be scouts and then quit after the first year, right? They're ready. And so he says, "Hear then the parable of the sower." So he explains it. When anyone, because it's all kinds of soil, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what is sown on the path. Now I'll pause there. One of the ways that I understand this is he's describing about what it means to be a disciple in this process of becoming a real disciple. That Jesus speaks to crowds, and it's easy to sit in a crowd and be like, "Oh, this sounds good. I want in on this. I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want to have a life of blessings. This sounds really, really, really good." But then you find out it's hard. Just like scouting sounds fun, but it's hard work, isn't it? A lot of commitment. And it's only an hour a week. But for some reason, people start doing it, and then they get too busy, right? And then they stop. But the seed that's sown on the path, these are people who, they might be interested in Jesus, but they're either spiritually dead, that is, they just live a life characterized of unbelief. They might think that religion is for the weak, or that there's no God, or that if there was a God, why is there evil in the world? And so their life is characterized by unbelief. But then when people decide, "Yeah, I want to know more about this Jesus," and they start to begin to want to repent, or maybe even make a decision for Jesus, to say they believe and be baptized, maybe to join a church, but they're still spiritual infants, that their life is characterized by just a spiritual ignorance. You might hear them say things like, "Tithing, what's that?" Or, "Wait, what is this 'Thy kingdom come, thy will be done' mean? On earth as it is in heaven. I don't understand. I thought heaven was out up in the sky and earth's down here. What does that mean?" Or, "I didn't know that was in the Bible." It's just, they need lots of care. How many of you have parents? Babies need lots of care and attention, right? Sleepless nights. Some people are, it's so exciting when there's all these, you know, they walk for the first time. Or they cry, or they laugh, or they say their first words. It's really exciting, these milestones. But it's an exhausting process. And so people who are spiritual infants, the birds are swarming around and are just ready to snatch away the good news of God's word. So they need people to walk beside them and to be patient with them. And maybe even to feed them, to help them, to teach them how to pray. To help them to read their Bible. They might not know where to start. To just go pick them up and bring them to church. Then Jesus talks, so that's people who are like spiritual infants. Then Jesus talks about there was sown on the rocky ground. This is one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. "Yeah, this sounds great. Yet such a person has no root and endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on the account of the word, the person immediately falls away." So these are people who are spiritual children. And what do we know about children? Children, they can be real sweet, but then they can be little buggers, right? You know, they can be obstinate, and they're very self-centered. They haven't learned how to be other-centered yet. Their whole world is about meeting their needs and doing everything they can in their own power. "I want to do it. Let me do it," right? Spiritual children are very self-centered in their faith. It's all about me and Jesus. It's all about me and my relationship with God. And they might even be more dogmatic and see the world in terms of like black and white more. They might be more judgmental. Some people are spiritual children who've been going to church their whole lives, and that's the stage they're still in. They might say things like, well, I just can't worship when we're singing those newfangled songs. Or, you know, I wish we only had communion once a year instead of every month. Or they might say, well, I can just read my Bible at home. I don't need to come to a Bible study. Or if we're going to die and go to heaven, why do we need to care about the environment? You know, these are spiritual children, and they need people to help them to learn to overcome, and the Holy Spirit needs to help them to not be so self-centered, to help them to realize that life is not just about me and Jesus. Life is about God and honoring God and loving other people and serving in our community and learning how to use our gifts and to not just sit and watch. So spiritual children tend to be spectators. But then there's spiritual adolescence. Here's what Jesus says. He says, as for what was sown among the thorns, this is one who hears the word. So now they're hearing the word. They're listening. But the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. So even if you become a spiritual adolescent and you're starting to want to use your gifts, maybe your spiritual gifts, maybe you're wanting to serve into ministry, you need someone to come alongside you to help you as a disciple to find your place in ministry and to hold you accountable. To be like, hey, you weren't at church this week. Do you need a ride? Can I help you? Or, hey, how's it going? Tell me what's going on in your life. Where are you struggling? How can I pray for you? Hey, that didn't go so well. You know, you said some things that you shouldn't have said, and I love you. I want to help you so you don't do this again. Let me talk to you about what it means to forgive someone and to forgive yourself. Can I pray for you? And so, but it's the cares of the world. It's the cares of the world. It's the time. It's the busyness. It's all the stuff that crowds it out. And so if we don't have accountability, if you don't have someone who's coaching you and mentoring you, you're going to be stuck in that stage. But then Jesus talks about the good soil. He talks about someone who hears the word and they understand it. And you can't just understand the word of God on your own. You need the Holy Spirit and you need the church. Amen? You need people to help explain it to you. You need people to who you can ask questions to. And it's not about getting answers. It's about being able to ask more questions and ask questions of your life and apply it. So those who hear the word and understand it, and it indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, another 60, another 30. So these are people who aren't just spiritually adolescents, but the Holy Spirit is changing their heart and their life. And they're focused on sharing the gospel with others. But they need to learn how. So they might be spiritual adults, but the goal is to become a spiritual parent, to help someone to grow in faith and to know Jesus so that then they can help someone else to know Jesus and to follow Jesus. So my goal in life is to become a spiritual grandparent. It could take my whole life, or maybe it could happen at this church. I'd love to see it happen at this church and try it again in the future if I'm ever at another church. But that's my goal in life, is to become a spiritual grandparent, to make disciples who make disciples. Now, people who are ready to make disciples, I've heard this here. Hey, there's this guy at work, and I shared the Facebook video with them and invited him to come to church, and I'm praying for him. Or, hey, I have my son, and he used to come to church, and he's wandered away, and I'm praying for him, but I don't know what to do. And so then I might share scriptures about, well, here's what God's word says here, and here's what you can share with them, or here's how you can pray with them. Those are the people who are focused on God and focused on others and focused on pleasing God and using their gifts that God has given us. Like, just like in Scouts, you guys discover what you're good at. You got to get all these different merit badges, but some of them are more enjoyable than others. And you got to start to specialize when you do your Eagle Scout project, right? So making disciples is like the Eagle Scout project for a Christian. We are called to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Amen? Amen? Yeah. Amen. So what about you? Where are you at? What's the soil in your life? Are you on the path? And the birds just keep taking the good news every time you think you got God figured out and just robs you of your joy and you're all alone? Well, chances are those folks are probably not here because you're here. But if that's you, I'd love to pray with you and help you take your next step. Maybe some of you are those who have rocky soil. Now, just because you have shallow rocky soil doesn't mean the soil can't be cultivated. They can't take the rocks out, right, Roger? Sometimes it takes heavy equipment from people in the church who love you and pray for you and walk with you, or the work of the Holy Spirit to cultivate and to turn that ground to make it good soil. Maybe some of you have what seems like good soil, but there's weeds and there's thorns and there's just lots of bad news in your life. And maybe the enemy has stolen a lot of your joy and you just feel stuck. Or maybe you want to make disciples, but you don't know how. Or maybe you want to use your gifts, but you're not sure where to start. Well, we can help you in the church. We can help each other to encourage and affirm one another about what we're good at. Or you know, you really blessed me when you helped me with that the other day. You should do that for more people. That we can not just listen to a pastor preach, but we can be people who don't just pray in the pews, but we pray out in the streets and in our homes. Amen? But I hope and pray that God will cultivate us as a church and as a community to make us good soil. Amen? Amen. Amen. So at this time, I want to invite